Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, without any uninterrupted broadcast, Chaplain John Durden for the next 1 hour. There'll be no questions and answers. Just once he's through, we're gonna say amen and God bless. Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Brother John. Brother John. And I was surprised, but I'm glad that the ministers there at your respective churches wanted me to share some more on spiritual warfare. But, you know, Tuesday night is my regular night, but at the request of your pastor, I'm glad to, because we need more about spiritual warfare, because our pastors, including myself, when I was in seminary, they didn't teach us nothing about no spiritual warfare. They didn't even teach us nothing about demons. They just told us lies like all the demons in hell and this kind of stuff, you know. And so some of your own pastors, bless their heart, they tune in tonight because they want to learn too, because I'm pretty sure if they're in their 40s and 50s, they didn't get any spiritual deliverance about demons and stuff like that because they've been taught just like me. Here I am. I'm just turned 80, and here I am talking about demons. I wish I could have got that stuff when I was in seminary 40 years ago, you see. So all I heard was, we ain't no such thing as demons, and the ones who did teach about it, they just say, all of them in hell. You know, it was a bunch of lies, stuff like that. So I didn't learn anything until finally God had to share the ministry about deliverance to Brother Emmett, and then Brother Emmett told me about it. And then I still didn't believe it at first, and I went on some crusades with him, and I was shocked to see demons talking back at him, seeing women and men and children raised up on the ceiling, walking up and down the ceiling, upside down, you know, kind of a thing, and hearing demons speak out of men and women, that kind of thing. I said, well, my Lord. So for about 30 years, all I was told was a bunch of lies, but there ain't no such thing as demons. So what I'm going to say, you probably might want to get mad at your preacher, but you got to remember, he's the same way I was. Now I'm 80. Your preacher's probably been in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. They just learning too. Because all of us have been duped by those old pastors, you know, because those guys came from that old century. All they said is, we have his written word. That's all they said. They ain't said nothing else. So I'm going to share a lot of things, but don't get mad at your pastor, because your pastor was sitting under the same situation I am. I was. The Lord had to correct me. The Lord had to correct me and let me know that demons still exist. And when you're out there fornicating, committing adultery, masturbating, stealing, lying, that's demonic. That's demonic. That's not your flesh. Some of you, but when you realize you can't stop doing those things, then that's demonic influence. Now, we do a lot of things. Our flesh just like to lie. Our flesh like its own fleshly desires and stuff like that. Well, that's us. But now when you got a habit and you're trying to stop and you can't stop, you go, oh, God, I'm hooked on the dope and all this stuff. That's not your flesh alone. That's spiritual. That's demonic. All right. Like I said, my name is Brother John. John Durden, they call me. And I'll give you a little bit about, for those who don't know me, I'll give you a few things about my life. First, I have, I went to, after God, I was a deacon for 20 years. And God called me in the ministry, you know, when I entered this ministry when I was not until I was in my 40s. But I taught seminary for 30 years. Not seminary, but I was human resources director for 30 years. I'd hired people for federal positions. I hired people for federal government jobs, making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 a year. And I retired after 30 years. When I did, God called me to the ministry, and I went to seminary. And when I went to seminary, I was 65 years old. You know, I was one of them 20-year-old brats, so everybody called me Grandpa when I was in class for those 3 years, because students were in their 20s and some in their 30s. And there I was, a 55-year-old man. So every time the teacher called me, or the professor, he'd call me Pops. Say, Pops, what do you think about this? It was pretty hard to go 3 years for youngins, you know, kind of a thing. But praise the Lord, God saw me through it. So I got 3 master's degrees, one in human resources, like I said, hiring people for federal positions, and the other 2 master's degrees in seminary. I got a master's in Christian counseling and a master's in theology. And as a result of that theology degree, I got hired as a hospital chaplain. I was a hospital chaplain for 20 years. So praise the Lord, I retired just 2 years ago, 30 years with the federal government and 20 years as a chaplain. So that's my background. Salvation type thing, I thought I would say it because what? I was a deacon in the church for about 18 years, but because I was a deacon serving communion every first Sunday, going to see the sick and the shut in and all that, I thought I was on my way to heaven. Finally, God had to send a gentleman to my office unexpectedly who I work with, and he told me the gospel because he blew my mind. He said, "Are you saved?" And I go, "Yeah, man, I'm a deacon." He said, "All you do is tell me what you do in the church. All you do is tell me what you do. You have mentioned, there's three things you haven't even mentioned." I said, "What's that?" He said, "First of all, you didn't tell me you believe Jesus is Lord and Savior, is our Lord." I said, "Yeah, I believe Jesus is Lord, the Son of God." He said, "Uh-huh, okay." He said, "What do you think about your sins and all that?" "Oh, I asked the Lord, forgive me. Yeah, I did that too." He said, "Is that all you did?" I said, "Yeah, man, that's all. I'm serving. I'm doing Sunday school lessons." He says, "You never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior." And I go, "Huh?" And he said, "You must receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Tell him you're sorry for your sins. You believe that Jesus is the Lord. And but you got to ask him to forgive you of your sins and ask him to come into your heart, into your life, and change again. Change it. That's when you become a newborn Christian. You must accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. You believe that his sacrificial death on the cross for your salvation. Just believing that Jesus is Lord, that's not said. The devil believes in Jesus, and they tremble. The Bible says, I believe in Jesus. I believe. So I know I'm going to heaven because I always, I say, hey, man, the devil believes in Jesus too, and they tremble. And so he said, well, what do I do? You got to tell Jesus you're sorry for your sins. Tell him you believe he's the Son of God and ask him to come into your heart, forgive you. You must repent. Tell him you're sorry for all that crap you've done. You know what you did. You don't have to say all that. Anyway, you do say, I'm sorry, Lord, and I repent. And I ask that you come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Then and only then, that's when you say, because once you say, I receive you as my Lord and Savior, that's when the Holy Spirit come and take up residence in your spirit. But now the Holy Spirit is going to stay there on condition. If any of you out there can hear me right now, you're supposed to be pastors, preachers, teachers, Sunday school teachers, choir directors and all that. If you're doing something you ain't got no business doing, you got to remember the Bible say what? The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, the Lord, I didn't have this plan to say. This is another kind of opening that I didn't expect. But the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if you're using your body for fornication purposes, for masturbating purposes, for adultery purposes, for smoking dope purposes and all that stuff that pertains to the body, he's gone. You ain't got the Holy Spirit no more. I just thought he told me to tell you that. You know, say, oh, I've got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you got the Holy Spirit when you got saved. But the moment you turn your back on Jesus to all of that smoking and screwing and lying and stealing and everything else, Holy Spirit says, uh-uh, I'll be doggone if I'm staying here in this body. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. Your body's supposed to be a temple. You ain't got no, your temple is foul. And so I'm just doing what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. So let's go into prayer, and then we'll get into I'm going to talk about the deliverance ministry. I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about in a few minutes. Let me get into this part. Remember, I want to pray right now, okay? Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I want to say that we love you, and we pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge this evening, not only revelation knowledge, but wisdom and understanding. And I pray that the Spirit of truth, would empower me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. And Father God, I pray that our minds will be alert and clear and our hearts become receptive. And I also pray, Father, that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Redeemer. And finally, Lord, I pray that your words will bring salvation to those who need it, who think just because they are a member of the church and do good things to save. So I pray that your words will bring salvation, will bring healing for those who are sick and ill for whatever reason or whatever affliction they may have. Not only salvation and healing, but I pray that the word will bring deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. And so it's in the name of your Son, Father God, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is all our Lord and Savior. And the prayer was prayed directly only in the name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen, and amen, and amen. And because we're going to be talking about deliverance ministry, there's a special prayer that I usually do when I'm going to talk about demons and these kind of things, so I've got to cover my back. It's called spiritual warfare prayer. Every time we go into spiritual warfare, when we make visits to people's house where they cast out demons and these kinds of things, either come in our homes, we have a prayer that we use it. But since I'm talking about spiritual warfare tonight, I just want to ward off them demons and put on the helmet of salvation. Now, you know the word of God say that when we doing demon, that when we fight against demons and stuff like that, we have protection to protect us. Those are the different instruments that we have and protection we have. And it goes like this. I pray like this. I says, Father, for your mighty armor, that's the armor of God, you have provided for me so that I may be able to stand against the tricks of the devil. And in this body, I put on the weapon and the clothing for fighting demonic spirits. It goes like this. I go, I therefore put on the helmet of salvation, and that is to protect and guard my mind and thoughts. Then I put on the breastplate of righteousness, and that is to protect my heart, that I may maintain a right relationship with both God and man. Then I put on the girdle of truth, that I may avoid every form of dishonesty or compromise. Then I put on the shoes with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that I may be ready to present and defend the gospel to the unbelievers. And I also want to put on the shield, carry the shield of faith, to cover my total personality, spirit, soul, and body. And then I put on the sword, I carry the sword and the weapon of prayer, which must be prayed in the spirit. When I say pray in the spirit, I go, and the Holy Spirit is speaking, not me. The Holy Spirit is giving me, that's like, tongues down another language, that's all this. Now, you know, like if you hear a guy speaking to you in German, and say some Chinese person, give it to well, you go, what in the world? He or she said, you know, but they're speaking their home language. Well, we speaking in tongues, speaking different worldly languages. And the only way you know what the person is saying is that God give you the gift of interpretation. But when God is speaking, use the pastor to speak in tongues in the church service, something like that, two people are going to be given an interpretation. Because one guy, because God wants the people to know what he said. The pastor may have the gift of speaking it, but he may not have the gift of interpretation yet. You get both, but you get one at a time. So the congregation want to know, what did the pastor say? Listen, he's up there listening to the guy. In Jesus' name. And then God would give two persons in that church or wherever the tongues is being given, two going to have interpretation. Because one going to say it and the other one confirm what he said is the same as what he heard from the Holy Spirit too. So we speak in tongues. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I don't know. And sometimes God will have me speaking in prayer, and I might be speaking Spanish, German, and just so happened, God let me know it's real. It just so happened, I'm in another church congregation. I might be speaking in French, Italian, or whatever, and a lady next to me told me, I thought you was African-American. I said, yeah, I am. She said, well, you speak fluent Spanish. You speak fluent tick of me. When a Chinese goes, you speaking fluent Chinese? I say, what? You know, Captain, I said, all I can remember, I was going, chitong, the kind of thing. She said, no, you speaking fluent Chinese, and you were just praising God. I said, my God. And they all, even sometimes I'd be praying in Spanish, and I'd be in the cab driver, might be a Spanish guy, and I'd be in the back of the cab praying in Spanish, and the guy turned around and said, sir, I didn't know you could speak fluent Spanish. And I said, no, I know you're bilingual. I said, I'm not. He said, well, you praising God and thanking the Lord and stuff like that. So when somebody's speaking in tongues, don't you make the mistake of, oh, you're just doing a lot of babbling. Don't you say that, because you didn't you talking bad about the Holy Spirit. You know what Jesus said? He said, you can say anything about me, it'll be forgiven. You can say something erroneous about my Father, it will be forgiven. But anything against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, will never be forgiven. That's Jesus said that in the Bible. You bet not disgrace or curse or say something erroneous about the Holy Spirit. Your butt will go, you know, repent then, buddy. Because he's standing his word. You say any doggone thing bad about the Holy Spirit, it's unforgivable. So if you have somebody speaking in tongues, remember, the Holy Spirit is speaking. That person, they went, well, I had to shut up one guy. He said, you ain't doing nothing bad. You go, blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm not going, blah, blah. I'm going, Shakarina. I said, I'm speaking another language, and you better shut your mouth, because if you say a bad woman, you'd be in trouble with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. He said, you say something about the Holy Spirit, it'll never be forgiven. You're behind going straight to hell when you die. So you repent. I'm sorry. I said, yeah, man, but you did that in English, but keep your mouth shut. All right, so I want to go into the scripture, and then we're going to get into, and I'm going to get into specifics what I'm going to talk about. The first scripture comes from, let me get my Bible here, put it in my lap. Okay, the first scripture is Matthew 10:1, talking about getting ready to get the gift so we can do spiritual warfare. Matthew 10:1 says, Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority, listen now, gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, I must say this. God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit give us the techniques and equipment, all that, so we can fight demonic spirits, because you can't fight the demonic spirits like you fight the Germans, or the Russians, or the communist country and all that kind of stuff. We fight them with weapons like guns and bombs and airplanes and machine guns and grenades and all that stuff. But you can't have spiritual warfare with demons. They are spiritual beings. You can shoot. It's like you take a machine gun, you can get the most bombs and throw it right where they're sitting. And it's like it's exploded in the air because they are spiritual beings. Bullets, knives, you know, grenades, and all that stuff doing the harm. They just sit there and laugh at you. Because when you shoot at a demon, the bullets go straight on through, because they're spiritual beings. They're not fleshly beings. So that's what it's all about tonight. We'll talk about spiritual warfare and what do they like to do and how they like to drag us down to hell with them. Because Satan rebelled against God, and God kicked his butt out of heaven. And before he left, he called a third of the angels to go with him, come follow me. God kicking me out, but I'm going to make you leaders, and I'm going to make y'all important, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that for y'all, make y'all hot shots and all that. And them fools, them demons, a third of them, went and followed Satan right out of heaven. Okay. All right. Remember I said Matthew 10:1. Jesus summons his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every sickness. The other scripture the Lord gave me was, that was Matthew 10:1. He gave me Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10, 11, and 12. And verse 10, 11, 12 reads as follows. And that's talking about the armor of God. When that prayer I just got through talking about, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. And that's what I was doing. I was saying that prayer. And those are different things, how we fight demons. We can't fight demons with our fists. We can't fight demons with a baseball bat, you know, a machine gun, a knife. You'd be swinging in midair. So he says, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil or the tricks of the devil. Verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What did I say? We are fighting spiritual beings. Them spiritual beings want you to They fornicate. They want you to masturbate. They want you to get involved with homosexuality. They want you to get involved with bestiality. I was surprised enough in the military, I found a lot of those boys was screwing when they out in the cow pasture. They were screwing those little calves, female calves and stuff like that. And Lord, I never heard nothing so nasty in all my life. But when you got a habit and you can't get rid of it, I don't care if that's smoking, dope, whatever you're doing, you just can't stop, then it's going beyond just your flesh. That's demonic. That's demonic. And demons say, I've got him. Because if you got a bad habit, you know it's bad, but you, I don't know how time I try. I just can't stop doing it. Well, that's because you finally opened the door for demonic possession. You need deliverance. And then verse 11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's just another way of saying it. Them demons ain't human, buddy. They are spiritual beings. That's the way they was created, spiritual beings. They can walk through walls. You know, they can come right in your house, right through the ceiling. Or they could be standing right around watching you and everything else. So sometimes the Lord let me know when they come to my house. And then I hear some say, John, they're standing over your table. They're looking at what you're reading. I said, God, dog. And that boy, it just make me nervous, almost make me want to wet in my pants. Sometimes I'll be sitting over there watching TV on the sofa because the living room and the dining room is joined together. You know, just go from one side of the room to the other side. And then I hear demons looking, standing at your table looking at what you're reading. I said, God, dog. And then they said, Brother John, I didn't tell you that for the heck of it. Cast them things out of here. Kick them out. I said, you demon, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, take your butt out of my house. Who tell you to come stand on my table? Get out now. I bind you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You hear what I say? I bind you and rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get out of my house now. Out, out, out. Go. Now, don't let me have to send Michael the archangel to beat your butt out of here. Get out of now. And then Lord said, they gone. Because when I first learned it, to get out. Get out of my house. In the name of Jesus. And some of my buddies started telling me, John, you sound like a little sissy. The only dude is laughing at you. I said, what? That's when I couldn't see at the time, you know, into the spirit. The only dude was standing there laughing at you, telling me, look who's trying to get us out. Say, you sound like a little sissy, you know, and I wasn't used to talking to demons, you know. And so, for the first 6-7 months, I go, get out of my house, and because they always come into my house, and I get long distance calls to John, demons in your house. One of them is doing this, and he's looking at your table. I said, is that so, tell me what's on my table. He says, well, I don't want you to think I'm lying, so I'll tell you. And they tell me how my room looks like. People call me from long distance. I mean, believers in the Lord, you know, who believe more than we have this written word. And I go, God, dog, them suckers can really see. And they say, yo, and they looking at you and laughing. You know, and then one, I'm in your bathroom looking around. I said, what? You mean you can see into my bathroom too? I said, yeah, Brother John. I said, God, dog. I go down the hallway and get out of my bathroom in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you nasty demon. I said, he's gone. He ran out there when you started all that. The tone changed because it was new to me because, you know, like I was a 75-year-old man when I started getting involved with this, but now I'm 80 now because it just turned 80. So they still try to come here now and then. They say, Brother John, because I can't sense that yet. I haven't got that anointing. So they call me and say, Brother John, you got two of them in your dining room looking at your books, seeing what you're reading. And I said, mm-hmm. I said, hey, you demons, you want to know what I'm reading? I'm reading about demons, demonic spirits, spiritual warfare. Now get out of here now in the name of Jesus. Don't let me have to ask Michael Archangel to come here and kick your butt out of here. Get out of here now in the name of Jesus. And boy, and he comes to John, he's lying. I didn't go. He said, you change. I said, well, I ain't never talked to demons before. And besides, somebody said, demon, I'm ready to run and hide. You tell me they're in one room, I go in the other room. But, you know, I've been in some time now, so I speak with authority. The other scripture says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, or just all these different types of demons, against the powers and other types of demons. I'll explain what they do. Against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. These are all different types of demons and their responsibilities. I think I'll slow down. I guess I can sense that. So he's going a little bit too fast. So I'm going to slow down a little bit because I got to have to get excited about this thing. And so let me slow down because I'm going like a machine gun. The next one comes Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. Whew, thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me I'm going a little bit too fast. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. Now, remember, this is Jesus talking. Look how he used the term pillar. He says, though he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Just remember, if some of you listening to me and you, God, this is not in my little notes. I'm saying this because sometimes I don't know what the Lord will have to say. Sometimes the Lord and Holy Spirit have me to jump in because he knows who's listening. So he says, read this and then say what I'm putting into your thoughts. I read, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Now remember this. I've been told to tell some of you who's listening that, because most of them call me to him, aren't you a pillar? Aren't you a pillar? You ain't a pillar? Don't you believe I'm a pillar? you know. And then the Lord say, well, no, not really, because you cuss all the time. You're fornicating. You're cheating on your wife. You ain't no pillar, you know. And they hang the phone up my face and get mad, you know. But I got to say what the Lord want me to say, you know. I say, hey, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just doing what God told me to tell you. Because, see, I saw him who called me, told me, we coming down there to beat you up and ball jack you. I mean, all kinds of people, deacons and pastors and chaplains and all be threatening me and brother. I'm coming down here, so we gonna make a sissy out of you. We gonna prostitute you. I mean, these are different men, not just pastors. So you got your good and your bad in every area. You got bad police officers, good police officers. You got some bad teachers who don't know what they're teaching, and you got some excellent teachers, you know. Then you got cooks at these restaurants. Some can cook and some can't cook with the dawn, you know. So the kind of thing. So I had to say with the Holy Spirit, I say, watch what you do, because you're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the moment you cheat on Jesus and on the Word, that Holy Spirit will say, bye, gone. You walk around and think you still got the Holy Spirit in you. All right. And then the last one he gave me, it was Revelation. Let's see what it was. He said, get kind of dog, I think. Oh, it kind of slipped out. So anyway, he says, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. And he said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So with that, that's the scriptures. So tell you what this discussion will be about tonight. I'm going to be specific. Let me see. I started where my clock's only at 12:30. Let's see what time is it. Okay, it's 12:30. Okay, I got until 1 o'clock. Because it started at 1 o'clock. I got to 2 o'clock. No, 12, and I get off at 1. Okay. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to discuss with you tonight. I'm going to talk about the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. I'm going to talk about the attributes of angels and demons. What are the attributes? How do they act? What do they like? What do they do? What do they don't do? And what do they love doing? And what do they hate doing? I'm talking about the organizations of demons, how they are organized, all the different ranks. Like you in the military, in our military here in America, you know, you got the non-commissioned officers and you got the commissioned officers. Non-commissioned officers are those who are sergeants and corporals and master sergeant, full sergeant, colonels, but you got different ranks. And then on the senior side, the officers, you got the second lieutenant, you got first lieutenant, you got captain, you know, and then you got some of them generals, first star generals and two star generals and three star generals and colonels and these kind of things and lieutenant colonels. So they got their ranks, and Satan got his army in ranks too. Like I said, I'm going to talk about the different kingdoms, who's in the kingdom of God and who's in the kingdom of Satan. And talk about the attributes, what they can do, what they can't do, these angels and demons. And then I'm going to talk about how the demons are organized. Okay? Then I want to talk about, description of the kingdom of darkness. And I say description, I'm going to talk about how they break up. You got some who are called principalities. You got some who are called powers. You got some demons called rulers of the darkness of this world. You got other demons who are called spiritual wickedness in high places. Brother John, where you get all those names from? It's in the Bible. Some are called devils and demons. Some are called spirits of the underworld. Some are called familiar spirit. Now, that's the one who you got to look out for. A familiar spirit is one of the top brass for Satan. And what a familiar spirit does is follow you around and try to find out everything you like to do that you ain't got no business doing. And so he take it back, that demon take it back to Satan and say, hey, this one here loves to do this and loves to do that, and this is fear of sin. And he or she loves to do this. And so what demon do? He call one of the special demons and say, come here. You are a demon of lion. And I take Trump, he's a natural born liar. And see, and he has, he can't, everything he says is a lie. And that's a demonic spirit. He don't even know it. Every time he opens his mouth, it's not him. It's that demonic spirit, that familiar spirit. And he could know that he's a liar. And what Satan did, assigned a lying demon to him. He's possessed with a lying demon. He can't help but lie. That's all he's been doing for the past 5, 6, 7 years, just lying his butt off. Then you have unclean spirits. Unclean spirits, I talk about how they do everything unclean. They everything funky, you know, from, and Lord, I can't go into all them crazy names. But evil spirits, unclean spirits, they do everything. I'll get into what some of them do because I'm going to cover some more. You got evil spirits. All you think about is killing you, making you suffer, putting all kinds of diseases on you and everything else. And you got seducing spirits. And these seducing spirits make people want to masturbate, make people want to read pornography all the time, make people want to look at all the sexual channels and everything else, make people want to rape people and these kinds of things, okay? So I'm going to talk about those different kinds. Then I want to share with you how demons gain control of your body. Some gain it through generations. I'll explain what I mean by that. Some gain it through the mind. Some gain it through sinful action you do. You keep on going, all of a sudden you can't stop. You got a habit, then there's no habit no more. You're possessed. Some, how they make you desire evil things. Then they gain control by, they say, establishing an empty house. When I said empty house, that means once upon a time when you first accepted the Lord, you praised and worshiped him all your life. For 2 or 3 years, these kind of things, all of a sudden, one of your buddies, a demon got you influenced with sexual perversions and all the other kind of stuff, slowly but surely kind of a thing. Well, the empty house, me and the Holy Spirit gone. Now, you know your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So once you started getting into bodily sins, you know, like masturbation, what else, homosexuality, bestiality, because I've met guys when I was in the military who, when he raised up on the country, screwing an animal kind of a thing. But you got all kind of sexual perversions, you know, kind of a thing. Man with another man, a woman with another woman, that kind of stuff. And so that's when the Holy Spirit is gone, and they don't even know it. They're not the temple of the Holy Spirit no more. They're the temple of a demon. How demons gain access into your body, I'm going to share that a little bit. I'm here, I'm not told 9 yards because I only got about an hour. Wow, you mean it's 25 after? Okay. How demons gain access and so forth. What I want to do. Okay. Now, when you get ready to cast out a demon, a lot of them make mistakes. Like a lot of folks who think they can cast out demons, they'll call and want Brother M and I to witness their casting out demons. And they get up there and they come down. First of all, they make the mistake. They come down. By the people watching the pastor in the church while they're at home, watching them on their keyboard and laptop and stuff like that, they can see where the pastor get off his horse. And he got about 300, what is it, about 150 demons on one, I'm not demons, but deacons on one side and 50 on the other side. And he walking down there riding on a horse with a $15,000 or $20,000 ring on his finger and a long robe, you know, and stuff like that with his name and highlights and stuff. And he's showing out. That's the spirit of pride. And the demon said, we got him. He's into himself. He's not into Jesus. He's into himself. He's trying to glorify himself. And he on a horse coming right down the aisle that me and Brother Emma said, oh, Lord, he don't know what's about to happen to him. So Brother Emma said, John, tell that joker what's going to happen to him. If he goes through with this stuff, he's going to cast out a demon. I said, all right. I said, oh, let it. Maybe he needs it to happen to him. He said, no, go ahead. At least we can say we want him. So I said, hello. He told me, who's that? I said, this is Pastor John, Chaplain John. Well, I heard about you. What you want? I said, I don't think you should be trying to cast out that demon. I said, I bet you that woman there is a white woman, Ola Ma. He said, yeah. And I said, they've been sent by the same pastor. Each kind. Yeah. I said, that pastor who paying you $200 or $500 $600 so you can look good to your country and see how powerful you are to cast that demon out. He said, yeah. I said, guess what? That man going to bring in a woman. She's going to be in her 30s. She's going to be a Caucasian. He's a Caucasian. And guess what? I'm not speaking of things in Caucasian. I'm talking about the way it's been going. I said, they're going to come in there, and you're going to, and then Brother Edmund going to say, okay, John, tell the whole congregation what's going to happen to him. So I said, okay, you sure? He may change his mind. I doubt he's full of pride. I said, sir, I don't think you want to try to cast him on demon. Tell him, come out and leave Jesus. I, I'm I'm Dr. So-and-so and so on. I'm Triple Crown Bishop so-and-so and so on. I got these degrees. And then I said, that ain't going to do nothing. You got to be holy, man. You can be a liar. You can be cheating on your wife, or you can be cheating on your whoever. You can be smoking dope. You can be doing all this, and the demon know everything you're doing because that's that familiar spirit. I told him everything you're going to do. Those demons got a hookup going to town. They know everything you're doing. Even if you're just a liar and you tell me, come out, you demon, that demon look at you, tell me, you don't tell me what to do. You're just as sinful as I am. You know. And when I say, all right. I say, I'll tell him. So I say, all right, everybody, because I get one and say, John, the demon so got that man going so crazy that people ready to run out their own house. So I have to stop and say, hey, don't run out the house. Y'all home. That demon ain't thinking about y'all. The demon looking at this pastor, this doctor, you know, who talking about all these degrees and the name of the school he going to and stuff like that. Don't mean nothing to demon. Demon just want to know, are you really a man or woman of God? If you ain't, they got the advantage. So I tell them that, oh, you just trying to frighten me. You just trying to frighten me. And then I go, okay, all right. And as soon as he say, come out in the name of Jesus, boom, that demon would manifest out of that woman. Because always a white female woman at third. And that demon said, you don't tell me what to do. You just as sinful as I am. Your behind is on the way to hell. You can't tell me. You have no authority. You just as sinful as I am. And then the pastor said, you don't know who I am. I am Captain Song. I'm Song, Song, Song. And I got 3 degrees. And I've just been crowned Triple Crown Bishop. And that demon said, you say one more word to me, your ASS will be mine. You heard what I said. And then boom. And many people over the last year have seen demons cast the pastor up in the air, take all his clothes, strip him naked, and he have to holler, "Help, Brother John! Help me, Brother John!" You know the kind of thing. I said, no, you up there, man? I can't get you down. I told you not to be so proud and talk about all these degrees you got, and you're the man, and you've been there 30 years, and you got this and that." I said, them demons don't want to hear about that. I said, it's one minister. You can be a chaplain. You can be a religious singer, a choir director. You know, well, you get away with it. If you all holy on Sunday and sinful on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it ain't going to harm you at all, you know, because you're not exposed. You just be fooling the congregation. But guess what? If you call yourself going to cast out a demon, it won't work that way because the demons are in that lady or in that man who you're trying to cast out. And the moment you say, come out, that demon will manifest and say, you can't tell me what to do. You got my brother in you. Say, what you mean? I got your brother. Well, my brother is a homosexual. Demon say, my other demon brother is a specialized in homosexuality and stuff like that. He the one that got you doing what you doing. You ain't number the homosexual. You screwing these young boys in school. You screwing the choir director kind of a thing, because majority of choir directors from my last year working in this thing, most of them are choir directors. I don't know about yours, but most of the choir directors, 90% are homosexuals. And then the deacons and all screwing and doing these kinds of things. So that's demonic. Boy, I tell you, some of the stuff I'm saying right now, I don't have that plan. I don't even have my notes. But I guess the Lord knows who I'm talking to, okay? All right. Now, here we go. I'm going to get into the specifics. When you get ready to do spiritual warfare, just don't just march down the aisle on a donkey, something like that, because I know you're talking about the disease and all you can catch. And so most everybody watching on a laptop and these kinds of things. But the steps are, when you plan on doing that, when you get ready to counsel somebody and you're finna do a deliverance, you just can't just say, come bring her in here, bring him in here. Come out, name Jesus. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. First of all, you have to begin with worship and praise. You say, what? That the pastor and his sidekick or the assistant pastor and maybe one or a couple of deacons, you know, they get there and they be praying right there in the room with that woman sitting down there or that man sitting there with demon growling, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they be praying in the Holy Ghost. Then when they pray for a while, then they say, because the reason that you're supposed to create an environment of praise, then everybody's supposed to join hand and pray. And, you know, because what we're seeing, the pastor come down on a horse, and 50 deacons on one side, 50 armor bearers on the other side, and all these diamond rings on him, and a cross that's about 10 feet tall, just showing up. And so you mess it right there. You're supposed to conduct it. And then not only do you pray and get the atmosphere spiritual, you're supposed to conduct a brief interview with the person. You find out what's wrong with the person because they may have a demon, but guess what? They don't all have the same kind of demon. They may have all kinds of problems. What you got to determine before you call yourself going to cast out a demon is, one, you have to look at the spiritual realm. In other words, what kind of sin is this person doing, this woman, this man doing? I don't want to say, come out, you whoremonger. It might not be whoremonger. The person might be killing somebody. Or the person might be stealing. It ain't got nothing to do with sex. So you have to talk to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will tell you whether that person, who's that demon in them, is a sinful demon. It's got that person doing all kinds of sins. Or the person acting crazy and flipping and can't hardly walk and crippled and all this stuff, he may have some kind of bodily sickness, and that demon is messing with his body. Then you got sometimes, I don't know who I am. Well, the demon got that person speaking. The person wasn't born that way. All of a sudden, he got all messed up with demons. So his mentality is all messed up. It's a mind demon going, got him talking like that. Then you got emotional demons. Then when you do that, I'm talking about that's what you got to do. You got to check this and see what if the person you're supposed to cast a demon out is in sin and what kind of sin. Or it's a physical problem, and there's no reason for that person to have that physical problem, then you know it's a spirit that deals with the body. You have to know that. And you know all these things, guess what? The Holy Spirit. So that's why before you say come out, you get in a quiet place and talk to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit got you that whole deliverance. But you sit up and stick your little chest out, tell them, I can do it, and I can do this. And every time they tell me and brother me that, they get all messed up, me crying and screaming, sitting up in the top of the ceiling, butt naked. So when you get ready to do it, then you pray, and then you bind the enemies. I bind you, demonic spirit, in the name of Jesus. And that's almost like putting invisible handcuffs, ropes on their hands and arms and these kinds of things. It's called binding the enemy by the authority of the Holy Spirit. And you exercise power, and you let him know that you, even though you're a human being, you got just as much power as he has because, what, you're a child of God. You have that the gifts of the Holy Spirit because when you get ready to fight spiritual beings, you cannot sit there and tell them, come out. You know who I am, come out and stuff. You better have the scriptures in your spirit where you can speak the scripture to him and let that demon know that you are serious and that you are a man, a woman of God. And like I said, if you got one little piece of sin in you, like just a line, and you tell me, come out, that demon said, you can't tell me what to do. You got my brother in you. And when he means brother, that means that you lying because my brother is a lying spirit, and he's in your body, sucker. And the minute you tell me to do that, I can beat the daylights out of you. See, that's the only religious position you can play in. You can be a preacher. You can be a sister pastor, senior pastor, you can be a choir director, you can be a chaplain. I mean, all the authorities that ministers have, different kinds of ministers. Well, if you got one little lie in you, you cheated on somebody or stole some money at the cookie jar or whatever, and then you go into the church to cast out a demon, that demon could say, I know who you are. And you guess why they know? Because, like I said, there's a special demon called, familiar spirit. That's that spirit. They tell you, they're going to tell Satan everything that you like to do, which is wrong. And then Satan called one of his boys who specialized into that sin to sign to you. And then you cook, and you don't know how come you can't stop smoking that dope? How come you can't stop cheating? How come you can't stop masturbating? How come you can't stop lying and these kinds of things? And so, anyway, you got to determine the proper time to pray. You pray, you bind the enemy. Like I say, you got to tell that enemy, you got to bind it before you start telling him to come out. Say, I bind you, demonic spirit, in the name of Jesus. And ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Don't say, now let me see what I'm going to do now. Let's see. Nope, it don't work that way. The Holy Spirit guides you through the whole thing, through the whole thing. What else I want to say? I look at the scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, which says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. put on the full arm of God so that you can take your stand against the devil. You know, I talked about the full arm of God a few minutes ago. You put on these different weapons in that prayer. I said, because usually before I go into the ministry of casting out a demon, I would say that prayer, putting on armor, and I put on this and I put on that. Because when you were doing, if you were in the Marines or Army, Air Force, whatever, you can put on that weapon. You can carry them guns and those get the grenades with you. Otherwise, you'd be defeated. And so, what I want to say, again, our struggle is not against the flesh and blood. Rulers, some of them are called rulers, against the authorities, against powers, some are called powers, and some are called spiritual forces, and some of them are called all different other kind of names. And it's obvious, it's clear that as Christians, we are engaged in a conflict that staggers the mind. All translations emphasize that the demons know what you're saying. They know if you're real or not. Okay? Now, let me go into some specifics. That's what I want to do because I ain't going to have all night. So, what are the different kinds of demons? Let me get that out. Here we go. One, when you're ready to minister deliverance, remember this. You begin with worship and praise. Second, you create an environment of faith. Make sure you got what you try to do by yourself. You have believers. And the little group that you have with you when you are getting ready to do that, you better make sure none of them jokers ain't cheating. Okay? Tell me, Deacon so-and-so, I want you to be there with me. You too, Deacon so-and-so. Sister so-and-so, Evangelist, I want you here. Evangelist, I want y'all, because you're going to have to do this thing together. You know? And boy, if they're messing up and you don't know it, and you, them demons know it, though. See, that woman or that deacon or that assistant chaplain, a pastor, a choir director, whatever, isn't that what you call it, going to help you? If any one of them got one, I didn't say 110, I say one, you're going to be unsuccessful because that demon is going to kick some butts, all of you. Have y'all strip your clothes off and everything else. I've seen it personally, y'all. So, see, you always begin with, and when I say when you call them, you call them, talk to them privately, you know, say, hey, I want you to assist me when I do this deal. Are you in sin? No, Pastor. Say, hey, hold up. Don't lie to me, because that demon going to spot it, and that demon going to strip all your clothes off and send you up in the ceiling and beat your butt. You dismissed by, and so he has to interview each one of the persons who's going to participate with him, because all of them, one of them just got to be in one little sin. Begin with worship and praise. Create an environment of faith. You pray. And then, guess what? You ask the Lord to lead you and guide you through the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, may give you a word of knowledge. Tell you what this woman that got this demon or this man got this demon, will tell you about that demon. The Holy Spirit would tell you, say, hey, you got to do it this way. What kind of spirit she got, he got is this kind. So it's called a word of knowledge. You find it in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. If you plan on fighting against demons and going to warfare, familiarize yourself with 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Let's talk about all the weapons that God give us to fight demons. If you don't know 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, you're gonna get hurt. Because you just can't say, come out in the name of Jesus. Then he's going to cut. He said, you say one more word to me, your butt is mine. I said, you don't know, I am thou. And boom. And about 70 times we've seen, as soon as they say, I said, and then say, well, I warn you, and rip the clothes off the person. Sometimes I see it on our laptop, because we can see in the different churches where it's going on. And they make it, and then the demon put them up in the air. And guess what the people see? They see plungers and broom handles floating down the aisle in the church, right down to the pulpit where the pastor is, and then the pastor's floating up in the air, and then that demon, you can't see the demon, you see the pole, and the demon rammed the pole up that demon's rectum. And people started screaming, hollering, wanting to run out of their own house. And we have to tell them, say, hey, demon don't care about y'all. Y'all can see your own house. He's dealing with that crooked pastor, that crooked demon, or that crooked man, whoever he is, telling me, I can cast out demons, I got the power. Okay, if whoever think they got the power to cast out demons, because he got so many degrees and all that, all of them, so help me God, may God strike me down dead, if I'm lying, says all of them got stripped of their clothes, butt naked, and the people can see him on their laptop looking at whoever trying to cast out the demon, butt naked, suspended up in the air. And then he'd cry and tell us to let him down. And then we'd tell the person who God has ordained. God would tell us who he ordained to bring that demon back down. See? Then we'd call that person. The person say, demon, bring that pastor back down here. Okay. You know, kind of a thing. All right. So I said, you got to have a word of knowledge. Don't you dare try to talk to that demon out of your own mind. You don't know what kind of demon you're dealing with. You don't know how smart that demon is. You don't know what the trick that demon can play on you. Sometimes they don't say nothing to you. You might come out. I say, did you hear me? I say, come out. And demon not say nothing. It might be a whole hour. You might be in the tongue. I say, come out. I think you're going because I don't hear nothing. The demon just ain't seen a word. So, honey, I think you delivered. And the person go out the door, and then the demon manifests when they get home. You know, kind of a thing. So you have to do it. The Holy Spirit give you a word of knowledge, tell you what kind of demon it is and what you need to do to get that demon out. And then the Holy Spirit tell you what scriptures to read it. And it goes, I don't want to hear that one. I don't want to hear that one because those demons know the scriptures too. See? And then the Holy Spirit will give you a special anointing. So what you do can come out. And then before you cast out that demon, there's four things you got to find out. 1, 2, 3, 4. You have to figure out, okay, what kind of demon I'm dealing with? What's wrong with this man or woman? Well, first, you have to deal with the spiritual realm. That means you got to find out what kind of sin that person is in. You ain't going to be able to tell, you know, and the demon going to hide it from you. The Holy Spirit will tell you what that person really needs deliverance. The person that come in there looking, asking for deliverance, but what you think you're going to be casting out is just a lie. It might not be a masturbating spirit. It can just be a lying spirit. Just lie on everything, you know, and they tired of jive and they want to cast that thing out. And then you have to check out if it's a physical problem, mental problem. Now, then there's emotional problems. Some of them got emotional problems, and those are demons who deal with emotion. When I say emotion, you're talking about some people always having anxiety problems. They always fear and fear. They're scared about everything, scared to get on the elevator, scared to go up the steps. Some of them have anger problem, bitterness problem, resentment problem. They all these, the way they act, and I let you know what kind of demon is in that person. Some have emotional problems. Some have scared of everything, don't even want to get on the elevator. You know, some very bitter. Some are lying. Some got a jealous spirit. Some are selfish. And these different kinds. All right. Now. Okay. Some guidelines for dealing with demons. I'm going to tell you a little bit about that, and then I'm going to tell you what the different kind of demons you're going to be dealing with. First, the guidelines for dealing with demons. Number one, you pray for discernment. In other words, you're going to be dealing with demons, and demons must be dealt with only on the basis of Jesus' authority. Do not attempt deliverance outside of his guidance. Hear what I say? Do not attempt to cast out any demon outside of Jesus or the Holy Spirit guidance. He'll tell you what to do and what to say. But you don't, I said, come out. I am Mr. So-and-so-and-so. I am chaplain so-and-so-and-so. And then, man, go somewhere, hide your face. Then you got to, help you to recognize the symptoms, the way they're acting, you know, sometimes the way they're talking, then you kind of know what kind of demons are. Sometimes you can ask the demon what their names are. They'll tell you. And some of them say, I ain't telling you nothing. Say, you figure it out. You figure it out. You know, sometimes for an hour, he's saying, I say, what's your name? For realize the whole hour I'm going by. And then the Lord said, now, I'm going to have to tell y'all what it is because y'all ain't going to get it. That demon ain't going to tell y'all who he is. So the Lord said, he's a demon of this. He's a demon. Tell us what kind of demon it is, and then we can deal with it. You recognize the symptoms. Be slow to make judgments and do not deal with the situation alone. Always have a sidekick with you. Remember, Jesus always sent them out in pairs. Make sure. Don't you go strutting down the aisle and tell me, I said, come on, you better have a buddy of yours who just as knowledge too. And like I said, please, don't be incensed, because the minute you say, come out, that demon going to expose you and say, who you think you talking to? I know what you're doing. And then you're going to get a little south there. You don't know who I am. Then you can start throwing your rank. Oh, God, this man degrees, so-and-so. And the demon say, you done peed me off. Wham! And all his clothes stripped off right in front of the whole congregation, naked. And then to make it even worse, the demon throw him up in the ceiling there, floating in the ceiling. I mean, floating in the ceiling up there, naked in the whole congregation, looking at the pastor at his booty, his TT, and everything else. You know, he told me, help, Brother John. Get me down, Brother John. I warn you. I told you that pride got to go. That demon knows what you're doing. I don't know what you've been doing, but I told you, if you ain't right, you make the biggest mistake trying to cast that demon out. Ah, get me down, you know, kind of thing. And so we make an arrangement because God has some more people there who can say, come down. And that demon goes, yes, ma'am, I'm coming down. Now, some of those holy women that we know, they call themselves Sister Nobody, Sister Nothing. What is the kind of name is that? I say, those girls are humble, those ladies are humbles. They're professional ladies, but guess what? When it comes to spiritual things and demons and all that, they don't say, I'm Dr. So-and-so, I'm the nurse, I've been in the hospital for 14 years, and I'm here to help to pass out. That demon will tell that woman well, everything she's doing. See, but when it's a holy woman, and we've seen this too, women say, all right, you demon, let the pastor down. All right, you demon, let that woman down. Okay, this is humble. But somebody said, what did you say to me? One more word you say to me, your butt is mine. And then they strip the clothes. And then sometimes, I'm going too mad. I won't say all that. Let me say another thing. When you're doing guidelines for dealing with demons, do not be discouraged by an apparent failure because you feel like you ain't getting nowhere. Sometimes the demon will say nothing to you. I said, come out. What's your name, demon? And nope, nothing, just quiet. I said, what's your name? You might be doing that for half an hour. You say, oh, Lord, what's going on? Sometimes they want you to get flushed and say, well, the heck with this, man. I'm out here. Just the heck with it. You know, that kind of thing. And the demon go, got him. Got her. Because sometimes you might sit there and tell me, come out for a whole hour before anything happens. Do not be afraid. And then whatever you find out about that person, you know, through the Holy Spirit telling you about that person or Jesus telling you about that person or that demon they telling you what that person doing, you keep it to yourself. And guess what I found out? No. What you find out, be very confidential, what kind of sin that person's and everything else. And you don't go, child, guess what? When I was talking, that demon told me everything. No, don't do that. That's confidential. When you're doing a deliverance, it's confidential. And then do not be discouraged by an apparent failure. Sometimes you get there and you have all your numbers and you're going to show out what you're going to do and nothing happened. And you might be in there for 2 or 3 hours, you know. And sometimes not because you just got a stubborn demon. I'm going to pee him or her off. I ain't going to do nothing, she said, you know. Or he said. And you had to, I said, come out. And the spirit just be growling and laughing. And you get a certain and you say, oh, God. And then you go, we've been here for 2 hours, y'all. Y'all going home. Let's go. Let's just cancel and postpone this thing. Well, sometimes that's how the devil works sometimes. It happened to us sometimes. Don't do nothing. You know, won't do nothing. And then it said, do not be distracted by extreme fatigue while dealing with demons because they have you all mad and angry and everything else. Okay, now we want to know. What time do we sign as well? Oh, Lord. Okay. Okay. I want to share the different kinds of demons with you. And then I'll be kind of quiet about that. You got the angels and you got the demons. We know about angels. I ain't got to tell you about angels. They're worshiping God. Now dig this. I'm going to tell you about attributes of demons. Before being cast out of heaven, demons had what? The same attributes as the good angels. We all know that. Then they all rebelled and decided to follow Satan. But let me tell you a few things about them, their attributes. Those demons are spiritual beings. They can speak. They believe in what they're doing. They can exercise their wills, whatever, any way they want to try to harm you or try to cause you and then go astray and walk away from God, cause you to do all kinds of things you know is violating the Ten Commandments, but you know better, but you're still going to do it. Well, they got your will, brother. They can demonstrate intelligence because they're smart, you know. And a lot of people think, I believe, I'm saved because I believe in God. And then I just come right back to scripture and say, well, the Bible says the devil believe in God too, and they tremble. So just because you believe in Jesus and believe in God, that don't mean you're saved. You just believe. But are you living what you say you believe kind of a thing, see? So you don't get in heaven talking about, I believe in Jesus, I always did. So yeah, well, why you didn't act like it? You know, kind of a thing. All right. These demons believe, but they got various kinds of beliefs. That's how come you got all these different kinds of religion and everything else. They exercise their wills. They don't have to deal with Satan all the time. They got their own wills and what they want to do, which is I'm going to make him a faggot. I'm going to make her a pervert or whatever. They have emotions because you get scared when you say Jesus. They recognize who Jesus are. They have supernatural strength. Supernatural strength, y'all. They have supernatural presence. I mean, they're powerful beings. They are eternals. Demons don't die. Okay. The only thing will happen to them at the end of the world when God casts them all into hell. They have their own doctrine. In other words, they can teach you a whole bunch of stuff like Jesus ain't no preacher. He's just a white man. And there's a lot of religion going out talking about God ain't got no son. He ain't never been married. Jesus ain't son. Jesus just some prophet trying to pretend like he's Jesus, trying to pretend like he's daughter, like God got a son. I ain't stupid. Ain't nothing in the Bible said Jesus got married. You know, they're trying to figure that thing out. Demons are eternal. They never die because they're spiritual beings. It's like when we die, when they're having our body dying in a casket, the spirit is standing, the angel grab us, snatch up our spirit out of our body, take us up in front of Jesus, because you know the Bible says it's appointed to all men to die, and after that, the judgment. So the moment we die, while they're having your funeral down here, you stand in front of the throne of God and his son Jesus. And then he goes, say, what a thing to you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. In other words, we never had a personal relationship. I died for you. I didn't die and let them beat the you-know-what out of me. And they hit me 39 times with them whips. And every time they hit me, when they pull it back, it always take out a piece of flesh. And then they put them big old rusted nails in my hand and in my foot. And then I supposed to look at you and you come and you've been hoeing around, screwing around, doing all this, a lion of steel. And then come, oh, I died. Oh, I was dead. Oh, there's the throne. The angel said, come on, take it. And Michael said, come on, take it. Take it into the throne. And you stand there, hey, Jesus. Oh, I guess I died. Praise the Lord. I'm home. And Jesus look at you and say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. In other words, we never had a relationship. I died for you. You died in your hole monging and stealing and lying, doing all I don't think so. And then say, Satan, that's yours. And Satan is going to laugh. Go, you're mine now, fool. And Satan will take his butt down in hell and then come back up and go back to
five minutes.
And find some more.
5 minutes.
How many?
Five minutes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. So anyway, they cause you to do it. They got their own doctors. They can tempt you and disease. But, okay, 5 minutes, I'll just come with the 1, 2, 3, 4 major demons. One is called evil spirits, okay? They influence immoral acts. You know what immoral means. Two, you have not only evil spirits, but you got unclean spirits. They induce unclean thoughts. I'm like, why I'm thinking that? That's nasty as hell. You know, it's kind of a thing. But that's unclean spirit got you thinking that. Then you got another spirit called the spirits of infirmity. They inflict the body. You tell me, I don't know why I'm always sick. I'm supposed to be a Christian. I ain't going to church no more. I ask God to deliver me from this pain or this on. Ain't no God kind of thing. Sometimes, devil attempts in your faith, just challenge in your faith. All right. And another one, you got spirits of infirmity, the afflicted body. Some of these diseases you got and everything else is not natural. Some of them are just being the devil. And you must be doing something you ain't got no business doing, too. Then you got deceiving spirits. They tell you all kinds of lies. You know, they produce false doctrines. They tell you there's no such thing as tongues. There's no such thing as demons. There's no such thing as speaking in tongues. That's the devil. They tell you all those lies. And then the last thing I want to say, because I just going to make do a part two. They demons like to attack us in different ways. They quote scriptures, make it lie. They twist the scriptures. They teach their own doctrines. They transform themselves into an angel of light. They encourage evil men to pervert righteousness. They afflict your body. They tempt you with lying and all this kind of stuff. They tempt you with pride. You find these folks walking around here with look, all these diamond rings on there. Look what I got. Look what I drive. And all this kind of stuff. And you have put more focus on how important you are, how rich you are, and how well-known you are, more so than you think about Jesus. And they produce counterfeit miracles and so forth. And finally, they attempt your heart with apostasy. In other words, before you know it, you don't switch your beliefs and everything else. But next time I talk to you, and then I'll talk about all the other different kinds of demons and how demons gain access, okay? And then how demons work against your mind. How demons work against your mind. And have you thinking all kind of things. Well, God bless you. I'd like to finish this thing because there's a part two. I just got halfway through it. And so I just have to talk with Brother Emmett to see if we'll do the second half, okay? God bless you. And Brother Emmett, you have it now, if you can hear me. Okay. But good night, everybody. And like I say, if you pastors who are listening, check with check with Brother Emmett. and see him. He can y'all get with him. Tell him when y'all available, and he'll call me, and then I would teach him the night that you're available again. But God bless you. Be sure you pastors and deacons on talk to Brother Emmett and have him schedule for the second part. The second part is really pretty heavy. It keeps you talking about how the devil works against your mind, how they trick you, the tricks that they use, and how demons gain access into you. I want to tell you, how did they ever get a demon in me? I don't know. There's 12 things how they can do to be for you to be possessed. And the main thing is, I got 14 things to tell you about how Satan works against your mind, how they can dupe you. Okay? They can cause you to have wrong attitudes and cause you to rebel against God. They cause sexual impurity, and they cause confusions and all these other kind of things. But with that said, I'm going to hang up now because he's going to have to click us off because he don't want to be paid for overtime. So those who are listening with authority, please tell Brother Emmett that I'm open to teach part 2 about deliverance ministry. God bless you. I'm over now. Bye-bye.